145 years ago, last night, October the 8th, 1871, about 9 o'clock, the story has it that Miss O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern and started the Great Chicago Fire. It burned an area 4 miles long by 3/4 of a mile wide. It took out over 17,000 structures, killing over 300 people and leaving about 100,000 people, about a third of the people who lived in the city of Chicago at that time, homeless. The destruction of fire. In Scripture, the destruction of fire is compared to the destruction of words. James says that they can be like a poison. So take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to James chapter 3. And we're going to look at this great passage that is so applicable for us as we seek to live out a life of faith. James chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read through all 12 of the verses. James chapter 3, pick up in verse number 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. With that, let's pray. God, speak to us through your word. Challenge us in the name of Jesus. Amen. James is a book of action. It is a book of application. It is a book of practical application. James has told us that we are to live by faith as we face the trials of life. He tells us that despite what's going on in the world around us, we are to live by faith and not show partiality and prejudice. He tells us that our faith should be evidenced by our works. And here, in James 3, he tells us that our faith should be evident by our words. The book of Proverbs puts it this way in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's power. I don't know about you, but as we move through this political season, I'm about tired of the lying and the lewdness that we are hearing in our nation from those who are trying to be the leader. And yet, Paul, as he describes the lostness of mankind, beginning in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18 and following, he tells us that the Gentiles are lost, that the Jews need to come to Jesus as well to be saved out of their lost condition. And then he begins to summarize that all people under this world are fallen and they need to receive Jesus, that they are lost. And he summarizes in Romans 3:10 this way, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable." That's the picture of lost man and how they act. But then, in verse number 13, in Romans chapter 3, he gives the picture of how lost men talk. He says this, that their throat is an open tomb. That their mouth is, or that their tongue is full of deception. That the poison of asps, a poisonous snake, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. What a picture Paul lays out as it describes the lostness of mankind. But I can tell you today, for each one of us, it is so easy for us to look at everyone else and say, they shouldn't talk like that. They shouldn't say that. They shouldn't have that kind of attitude. When in reality, can I tell you today, there is one tongue that you are responsible for. And it is yours. So James challenges us to act like and speak like we are believers. The world should know that we are believers because faith without works is dead. Our faith is working, but it should also know that we are believers because of our words, so that we should heed the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and let no corrupt communication come from our mouth, but only that which is for edification. The challenge of our life is it's so easy to see someone else's blatant errors that we miss our own. So the challenge today is not for us to look out. The real challenge is for us to look in. So this morning, we're going to think about the power of the tongue. We're going to think about the problem of the tongue, and then we're going to think about the prescription for the tongue. The power of the tongue. James lays it out for us in James chapter 3, and he tells us that we should recognize this power. Matter of fact, in verse number 1, he tells us that not many people should be teachers because they are going to face a stricter judgment. They are going to, because of the influence and the power in which they teach and the power of influence in which they have on others, there's going to be a stricter judgment for them. Now, let me tell you, don't let that fool you. There is a stricter judgment, yes, but can I tell you, for those who teach and the lives that are impacted, there is a greater blessing as well. So don't go to Jerry today and resign your class. He says, you should be careful as a teacher to watch what you teach and to watch what you say. In verse number 2, he tells us, man, if a guy can bridle his tongue, man, he has control over his whole body. But then he begins to show us the power of the tongue, and primarily James is going to deal with the negative pictures of how the tongue gets loose and it gets wild and it causes havoc. We pick up in James chapter 3 and verse number 3 as we think about the power of the tongue. We recognize that power is there. And the tongue first has power to initiate direction. Notice what it says in verse number 3. The tongue has power to initiate direction. We put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. So he gives two illustrations. The first illustration is a bit in a horse's mouth. The bit in a horse's mouth is laid over the horse's tongue. And when the one riding that horse pulls on that bridle. He turns the head and then turns the body of that horse. Then he gives another illustration of a rudder on a ship. A rudder on a ship, in comparison with the size of the ship, can be very small. And yet, even in the fiercest winds, as you turn that rudder or they turn that steering wheel on a ship, that rudder, though it's not large in comparison to the size of the ship, controls the direction of the ship. The illustrations are given. Parents, we, through our words, have a lot of influence on direction. When we tell our children yes, or when we tell our children no. A judge can initiate a lot of direction in someone's life by a statement of guilty or not guilty. We can initiate direction in someone's life. So here's the challenge of our life. Our tongue needs to be in control, be controlled by someone who knows how to control it. Listen, I don't ride horses well, so I'm not a great person to control a horse. But you put someone like Emily Helmick on a horse, and she can ride that thing. And she can make it maneuver and do what it needs to do. Someone who has experience has control of the bridle. If you went on the next cruise and you found out Captain Buddy was taking you out of port, I would be fearful for you. I don't know how to drive one of those things. But you put the control of that rudder in the hands of an experienced captain, and you can get somewhere. The challenge of our life is that just as a rudder and just as a bit, there is this sense that we initiate direction through our words. We can encourage and help and set someone on their course and challenge them to be all that God wants them to be, or we can steer them off course. So the challenge for our life then is that we need to have some of that James chapter 1 where he talks about when we don't have wisdom that we ask God. We need some of that wisdom. The application is we need to speak wisely to others. We never know how their life is going to be steered by our words. There's a second picture. We think about the tongue has the power to initiate direction, but the tongue also has the power to inflict destruction. Now notice the vast pictures that James gives us here. The illustration first of fire. Notice what he says. Down in verse 5, he says, the tongue's a little member and it boasts a lot of things, but how great a forest a little fire kindles. A little spark can burn a forest. Notice what he says in verse number 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. We know the destructive power of fire. You have seen that. Many of you have been through areas where they have experienced forest fires. When I was in Alaska, there was hundreds of acres that were on fire, and when you would drive through this area that had just been burned, it was blackened earth and smoldering ground and stumps of trees. The tongue has that kind of power. We've said that statement so many times, sticks and stones may break my bones. But the truth of the matter is words do hurt, and words do cause a fire. When I was in the sixth grade, we had a couple of wise guys at my school, a fifth grader and a sixth grader, who decided that they were going to burn down the school. So on a weekend, they broke a glass out of the window on the door, and they poured gasoline onto the black rubber mat that was inside the door, and then lit a match and threw it down onto the rubber mat. Needless to say, they didn't burn the school down. But when we came to school on Monday, we walked down halls that were blackened with soot. They were dingy. It smelled. They probably wouldn't even let you go to school the way that smelled there. But there were so many people smoking in that time in the 70s that it really didn't make that much difference to any of us anyway. As you walk through that hall, there was the dinginess. There was the defiling smell. And so that when fire doesn't necessarily destroy, it can stain and defile someone's life. See, you can rip someone to shreds with your tongue and it may not kill them, but it may stain them and scar them for a long, long time. Some of you remember words that were said to you out on a playground when you were in elementary school. Some of you remember words that a parent shared with you in middle school that were hurtful and they still sting today. Some of you remember words of a teacher and how you were put down in front of others, and that sense of stain is still there. That scar still has this sensitive spot in your life. The tongue has the power to destroy, and the tongue has the power to defile. But then he goes on to say, not only do we see that illustrated through a fire, but we see it illustrated through a wild animal. And he gives the picture of how an animal can be tamed and yet go a little bit wild. Notice verse number 7. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. Oh yeah, we've watched the lions and the tigers and the elephants, and we've watched all of those animals. But there used to be this show, I don't think it's on anymore, called Animals Gone Wild. And it would show when an animal would get out of control. He says, look, we can teach dogs to jump through hula hoops, and we can have a tiger jump through a ring of fire. But he says, no man can tame the tongue. Just as in the nature of that beast, it sometimes breaks out of that tamed mode. Even when you think your tongue is tamed, it jumps out and says something before you know it that disgraces yourself or stings someone else. The challenge there, that we need to watch our mouth. We need to watch our words. We need to be careful. We need to speak carefully. The illustration is a fire. The illustration is a wild animal. The challenge of our life is, look, we need to speak wisely because we can initiate direction. But we need to speak carefully because we can hurt someone and destroy their life. As we think about the tongue and its power, thirdly, we see the tongue has power to instill deception. Here he gives more illustrations. It's amazing how James just drives these word pictures out there. He says, man, the tongue can be like a bit or like a rudder. The tongue can be like a fire or like a wild animal. And here he says the tongue is like a spring or like a tree, like a plant. And he proposes a couple of thoughts with us. Can a spring from the same opening bring forth bitter water and fresh water? Can it bring forth fresh water and salt water? No, a spring can't do that. It's impossible. Can a tree, a, off of a plant, off a grapevine? Can it bear figs? No, it can't. And yet the challenge is we say that we have the Lord in our life. And we are to speak springs of water just as the Holy Spirit pours out rivers of living water into our life. And yet, some of your language can be a little salty in a negative way. Some of your humor can be a little coarse. Oh, yeah, you say you're a fresh water, got the river of water flowing out of my life. And yet the cut downs and the sarcasm and the hurtful words are coming out of the same mouth. The tree that's supposed to bear the fruits of the Spirit is spewing forth wickedness and vileness and cursing. James has an interesting thing. He says, these things ought not be so. This is the only time that phrase is used in the New Testament. And as he uses that phrase, it gives this punch, this emphasis. It's an interjection. This shouldn't be so. You should be a person who speaks consistently. There's that application for us. We shouldn't have freshwater words and salt water or bitter water words. We shouldn't be bearing the fruit of the Spirit over here and blasting someone over here. James lays it out for us. Your tongue is powerful. And because your tongue is so powerful, the Lord only gave you one. And ultimately, when it comes to responsibility, you have responsibility for one. Not for his or hers, but for yours. What kind of words are coming? The power of the tongue. But let's move on and out of James for just a moment, and let's think about what's the real problem of the tongue. Jesus shows us the real heart of the problem of the tongue. Take your Bibles and look with me in the Gospel of Matthew. When we think about the problem of the tongue, Jesus shows us that the problem of the tongue is not a problem of the tongue primarily. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Pick up with me. We'll pick up in verse number 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Here, James picks up on this kind of illustration. A tree is either bearing good fruit or bad fruit. It's either bearing, the plant either bears grapevines or figs. It can't bear both, and it won't bear either one if it's not that. He says, verse 34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now notice what he says in Matthew 12, 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Then notice the warning Jesus gives, verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus makes it clear, verse number 34, that it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So the real issue of our life is not our tongue. The real issue of our life is our heart. Matthew chapter 15, pick up in verse number 18, just a couple chapters over. But those things, Matthew 15, 18, which proceed out of the mouth, come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. The Pharisees and Sadducees were saying, look, they're eating with dirty hands. Jesus said, the problem is not eating with dirty hands. The problem is you speak out of a mouth that has a dirty heart. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, because it comes from a heart that is deceptive. It's deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, as Jeremiah would describe. So is there any hope? There is hope. So what's the hope? There is a prescription for using your tongue. James gives the negative picture. Yeah, your tongue can be pretty powerful and pretty destructive. Jesus shows us the problem, that it's really our heart. But the prescription is found by Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That doesn't sound like cursing and bad words. That we will be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, and that we will be giving thanks. Often, when we go to the doctor and there's something wrong with your throat, they tell you to stick out your tongue and say, ah. Here, the Bible says, I don't want to look at your tongue and I don't want to look at your throat. I want to look at your heart. But I ultimately want to see who is in control of your life. Because when the Spirit has control, it changes everything, because He changes everything. The challenge of our life. Fire is destructive. Words are destructive. How many of you had heard the story, October the 8th, 1871, around 9 o'clock, the Chicago fire, that Miss O'Leary's cow knocked over the lantern? How many just in the past have heard that before? Okay? Most of you. In 1893, Michael Ahorn, a journalist for the Chicago Republican, told everyone he made it up. He admitted and confessed that it made good print. It was 9 o'clock at night. The O'Learys said that they had already gone to bed. They weren't milking a cow at 9 o'clock at night. And yet, the power of words, the power of the pen, the power of the tongue, we would say in our day, the power of social media, the power of Facebook, the power of a text, the power of an email, the power of laying something out there when you're not standing face to face with someone gives people seemingly this courage to be extra lewd and extra rude. In 1895, Miss O'Leary died. They said she died brokenhearted and had lived the rest of her life as a recluse. Pretty powerful words that forever changed someone's life. What kind of words are you sharing with others? Is your faith not only seen by your works? Is your faith also seen by your words? maybe the most powerful words Jesus ever shared were those words that invite you today to believe on Him and be forgiven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If those words and the power of those words would initiate direction to bring you to Christ, it would change your life forever. If you don't know Jesus today, He invites you to experience forgiveness, to experience a new life. For many of us, we are believers. We've made that decision. We've acted on those words of Jesus. And now James says, all right, you're a believer. Why don't you talk like one? Why don't you speak to others like one? How come you say that Jesus has come into your life and transformed you, changed your heart, and yet it doesn't show when you speak? There are those words, those snippets of gossip, coarse humor, deception, lies. Oh, there is that sarcasm, and there is that put down. And James says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so with our lips. And may our prayer be like the prayer of David in Psalm 19:14, where he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Is that where you are today? The words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart. Because you know what ultimately happens? The words of your mouth show the meditations of your heart. It's going to come out. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? That's going to determine where's your tongue.